So Edgar Schein's organizational culture and leadership as seen through the lens of the AQUIL framework and the author's eyes. Let's give a warm welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to stand up because it gives me more energy, but I might sit down at some point. This presentation is based on a paper that I wrote almost 10 years ago. And I was in school, actually. Before I was in school, I was an executive at a Fortune 100 company, and my values started to clash with that corporation, and I left and went back to school. And so I started studying human development and organizational systems, and found the work of Edgar Schein. So this is Edgar on the left here, and on the right is one of my mentors from school, Charlie Seashore, who's very well known in organizational development circles. And at the same time, I took a course from Suzanne Cook-Reuter in the LDF map, learning her ego development stages. And that photo is my contribution to Fool-ish. We were dancing at a spiritual intelligence conference last fall. So I decided to, because I like frameworks and I'm interested in human development and how organizations develop, that I would take this idea of Schein's culture, and I'm going to give some overview of what he meant by culture, and map that to AQUIL, map it to spiral dynamics, and also to Cook-Reuter's nine levels. So, a little background about Edgar Schein. He's written this book that has been evolving over the last 20 years. It is considered a classic. And this is, I took the fifth edition for this presentation. This is a work in process. So I'm inviting you to come along on this journey with me and to give me feedback, because maybe what I'm thinking about doesn't make sense. So what he says about culture is that there is an accumulated shared learning, and that accumulation happens as the group solves problems and addresses their evolution. And so we're going to talk about those types of assumptions related to external adaptation and internal integration. So I'm going to just give a little bit more about Schein. Shared learning is a requirement. And in addition to that, there is a socialization process where people are being brought into an organization and they're being taught, here's the way we do things. Here's the way we think about things. Here's how we talk with each other and relate to each other. And so there are a whole set of assumptions related to external adaptation and internal integration that we're going to explore. Schein also talks about structures of culture. And within structures, he includes patterns of belief, values, assumptions, and behavioral norms. So maybe you're starting to think, how is this aligning with spiral dynamics, value systems, for example? And here is the typical iceberg example that we're all very familiar with. Schein talks about three levels of culture. So we start with the visible, the artifacts, which include technology, ceremonies, rituals, physical environment, and so forth. And then we start getting into espoused beliefs and values. So then we start to get into more etheric levels of rules of the game. This is how we do things here, which may or may not be explicit, they may be more implicit. And then we get to these underlying assumptions, root metaphors, shared meanings, and symbols. Shine calls this the cultural DNA, because eventually they drop out of our consciousness and they're way down there. They're not articulated at all. And in order to really understand a culture, you have to dig deep and understand the DNA. So these are the categories for external adaptation and internal integration of assumptions that Shine has developed. He includes in external adaptation mission, goals, means, measurement. And what he means by means, of course, are work processes, organizational structures, and repair and corrections. So that concept is assumptions about what needs to be corrected and how, and also attitudes towards errors, attitudes towards if we're going in the wrong direction, how do we change direction, and how do we feel about that? Internal integration includes creating a common language. It also includes creating an organizational identity and defining boundaries. Who's in this organization, who's not in this organization? Very typical in an orange meme would be there's a whole group of consultants that are working in an organization. Are they part of it or not? How are they treated in relation to the employees? And then authority, trust and openness. And then in addition to rewards and punishments, this idea of how do we explain the unexplainable? Different organizations at different stages of development will explain the unexplainable differently. One of the things that Shine says, as the world becomes more culturally interdependent, more organizations, projects, task forces, and joint ventures of various sorts that involve members from different nations and ethnicities, in the efforts of those groups to develop a working consensus, it will be the differences in the deep assumptions about authority that will be the most problematic. So again, kind of relating to beige that we were talking about before and some of the other points in our other presentations. Also related to basic assumptions about motivation. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but it has to do with relating to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. In the early days of organizational culture scholarship, it was all about the economic self-interest. Now it's moving, and there are people researching about people who are really going towards self-actualization. So actually seeing some growth there in the study of it. And then activity, doing, being, being, and becoming, four levels of relationships. Again, there's assumptions about how we relate to people. And if you probably can see in these four different levels, maybe some developmental stages related to those. And then some assumptions about identity, power and influence, needs and goals, and so forth. And then finally, these are the deepest kinds of assumptions. The idea that we really look at reality in different ways, and an organization as a whole will have a concept of reality that is shared by the members of the organization. Same thing with truth, time, and space. I'm going to go into this in more detail, but I thought we would spend more time on the mapping. So again, this is a work in process, and I welcome your feedback and ideas on this. But basically if you remember the iceberg, that the highest level was artifacts, or the most visible level of culture, and then you have espoused beliefs, and then underlying assumptions. So I put artifacts up in the upper right and also the lower right. You can see that is pretty clearly, if you've ever thought about organizations and how they fit in AQUAL. Value systems on the lower right, myths and legends that bring community together. And then in the spouse beliefs, there's a group learning process where people are working together and they learn, again, what are the assumptions? They may not explicitly learn them, but they're learning them through doing. And then the socialization process, teaching the way, like the HP way, if you're familiar with Hewlett-Packard, and they literally teach that to, or taught that to new people coming into the organization. And then in the upper left, the idea of integrating and aligning. And then lower left, there's this idea of patterning, which is really, really important. Patterning has to do, again, with both internal and external, but the internal piece of it is how do we put together our assumptions? What are the patterns of our assumptions? So, looking at it from a developmental perspective, and I'm using spiral dynamics colors here, and I'm looking at the upper right quadrant, external adaptations. So some examples of how organizations are at different stages. And by the way, every organization will have to go through all of these. It doesn't matter if the founder happens to be second tier. You have a startup that is going to be in survival. It may be handled differently depending on where the leaders or founders are in the spiral, but they still are in startup. And then they move into something, bartering, trading, they're wanting to expand influence and so forth. You can see how, again, these mission, goals, means, measurement will reflect in these different perspectives. So for instance, in green, consensus building, benefiting all stakeholders, you start to see the emergence of benefit corporations. You still have corporate structure, but you have the idea of including all stakeholders, the planet in addition, and the people in addition to profit. And then the next one is looking at the integration assumptions. So this is looking at language, group identity, authority and power, also the norms of relationships, intimacy, love, friendship. And you can see again, if we start with purple, my apologies to Rico because I didn't put beige on this. I'll have to add that. But the leader is seen as the god, and maybe the language is all coming from the leader. Everyone for himself in the next level, following the rules. So ideology really plays into this idea of norms. And rewards and punishments take more importance when you're at a blue level than when you're at an orange level. And then we move into higher levels or different stages, value systems, where we start looking at chaotic organization structures and the self-managing organization as we move into second tier. This is a map of motivation and activity assumptions. So motivation is related to, at the very basic, physiological needs, so money to provide, safety, love and belonging, esteem, and then self-actualization. Activity, the idea of doing versus being and becoming. So you're seeing at earlier stages, well, actually you're seeing being and doing in blue, because belonging and being part of a community could be considered being. and then moving into doing at an orange level, which we're all familiar with, and then finally this being and becoming, which I think is really great. I don't think it was that, it wasn't emphasized as much in Shine's earlier work, and now I'm seeing over the years that he has fleshed out this idea of being and becoming. The idea that again, actually, I think in your presentation, there's a lot of focus in that. So, yes, so the idea is that the question was about being and becoming. Is that we have both an internal and an external view. We've integrated both, we're in balanced being and doing, and we see ourselves as developing. So the becoming part is about development and self-actualization. Does that make sense? Integrating with the needs of the whole of the organization. So, and we can talk more about that when we get to questions at the end, because there's a couple last areas here. Relationships, assumptions. Again, with relationships, there's these four different types of assumptions. Remember, these are all categories of assumptions. So identity and role, if you look at it, blue, roles are clear-cut. Orange, roles are well-defined but can be modified to suit the situation. Green, roles are fluid and relative. Everyone is equal. No one is more important than anyone else in the organization. Yellow, identity comes from within and is not tied to a particular role. And then blue, identity is with the whole. And there's this mutual interdependence. So those are examples of how roles could be seen differently and have different assumptions. Here's the eye chart. And I'm going to actually break it down a little bit. So what I did here was I mapped Torbert's action logics and Cook-Reuter's ego development stages with these four categories of deeper assumptions. So reality, truth, time, and space. If we look at reality from a blue perspective, it's defined by ideology. If we look at it from the expert or skill-centric perspective, it's physical and can be measured scientifically. And then reality for the self-determining or achiever level is physical, can be measured scientifically. So it's pretty similar to the one below, but there may be some differences in underlying assumptions I've kind of summarized here. Truth, blue, identified by dogma, rules and laws. In the skill-centric, truth survives debate. This is an important aspect of that particular stage of development, to be able to see what works and to debate it. And then, again, scientific method. With time, and I didn't talk about this before, there's three different orientations, right? There's past, present, and future. And there's also monochronic and I can't remember the other one. We'll get to it when we get to the higher stages. Monochronic means we have a timeline and we can split it up into little pieces and do things in each little piece. Oh, it's polychronic, that's the other one. And polychronic means we can do multiple things at the same time. We can hold things in, for instance, the idea of paradox, you can hold multiple ideas in your mind at the same time and think about both at the same time. So again, past orientation, generally speaking, for blue, past present, for skill-centric, and for self-determining, it's present and near future. And then space, again, and by the way, Schein talks about time and space really are interconnected. So we've broken them out here, but they influence each other. And then in the higher stages, we have, again, individualist self-questioning relative, life as a process. So oftentimes people talk about organizations that are at green. Because everything's a process, it takes a long time to make decisions. Everybody needs to have their voice heard. Reality in strategist self-actualizing, co-created, chaos is normal. So there is, again, a difference. And then reality, interplay of body, mind, and spirit in action and using language. So I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to go through the rest of these. I'll be able to make the information available. And the original paper is available for download already, and I can make the next version draft available to anyone. And I'll be very interested to hear what questions you have or ideas to contribute to this, because it's really a work in progress, and I think something for us to consider. Because we, organizations do have this whole set of assumptions, and organizations develop and evolve. So it seemed to make sense to try and map those two concepts together. Thank you.